SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, post-Thanksgiving, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website, stevebick.com. And I want to admonish the NFL schedule makers doing no favors to your host by shoving that Eagle game on it at 8:30, after a long holiday weekend. It was the last thing we needed was to stay up until, I don't know, it'd be one thing if the game just ended at 11:30, but then, you know, you're all keyed up. It was a good game. It was fun. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. Boy, for those that bet, and I know my man Gary Barber, I was exchanged a couple of texts with Gary. He had a very nice day yesterday. Two stake wins for some of his horses. It's been kind of an off year, frankly. I'm sure Gary would acknowledge that. And so I congratulated him. He said, "Well, now I need the Eagles." And so I don't know how many points he laid. And I think for Dave Hill, I think Dave, if I'm not mistaken, he gave 7. And when I pulled the line up on Friday, it was 6.5. So if you took the Eagles and gave the 6.5, you were a winner. But if the 7's a push, so Dave had kind of a meh week. He had a lot of tough beats, I know, but. You know, that's the nature, not just the NFL, but our game as well. And over the weekend, my God, there was so much. It's going to take a couple of days to get through everything. And, Churchill season ending yesterday, which was a little too bad. They came off the turf after rain, and the Commonwealth had to come off. But. You know, going back to Friday, after we got off the air, Clark Proxy, the proverbial roulette peg, you know, finally falling in Proxy's slot. Rosario had a good few days. Won at, what, 3? He won for Cox, too, and for Phil Bauer as well, in the Falls City, going back to Thursday. In fact, we'll talk to Brad Cox, because in addition to winning with Bubble Rock, the Mrs. Revere, Instant Coffee, speaking of texting with owners, sent minutes before the race, I sent Al Gold, said, "Get lucky here," and did more than got lucky. Instant Coffee, very solid performance. And Al's got another potential big 3-year-old. Right now, it's a big 2-year-old. Speaking of big 2-year-olds, we'll talk to Tom Amos. In fact, we'll talk to Tom Amos first this morning. Amos, we made the suggestion on Friday that Amos was poised potentially for a big weekend. 3 graded stake opportunities, wins in New York, to get it going with 63 caliber, we mentioned, at a price. McComley, Kendrick Carmouche, but there were certain jocks, by the way, had big individual days. Carmouche, what, he went 4? And Luis Saez Saturday, 6, including 4 straight? I think 4 straight at one point. And then missed a couple and got Instant Coffee home and closed out a great day. We'll go through all the Stars of Tomorrow stuff, because there was a lot going on between Hoosier Philly with Amos And later with Cox with Instant Coffee, Butch Reed closed out a huge week. We'll get Butchie on today. If you weren't, you know, if you weren't monitoring everything going back to earlier in the week, I think it started on Monday when he won the Oaks at Mahoning Valley with Disco Ebo that Arad Ortiz was in to ride. And then it continued, would have been what, Wednesday at Philly with Riding with Biden, right? And then he added the Discovery at Aqueduct 2. Paco Lopez aboard Eloquist to win the Discovery. So Butchie Reed does such a great job. And Butchie even got a shout out for one of his former horses on Friday with Callie, right? With the Monday morning quarterback. Yeah. So Butch Reed. So that's tip of the iceberg. I haven't heard from Mig, but I'm who had a very full weekend. But we expect Mig will be by, and we'll go through. I mean, there was a lot of action in New York, obviously, and we'll do some with Andy tomorrow too. Although he was only on hand, was he on hand? Was it Saturday, Sunday, or just Sunday? I can't remember. I'm losing. That's one of the risks of this kind of a weekend. You just stuff starts to, you know, flow together. But there were some very noteworthy efforts, and you know, it was kind of, you know, one of those individual spots and certain horses winning certain races. Greeley and Ben. How great was that? Greeley and Ben winning the fall highweight. Unbelievable. That was great. That was great. Faith Wilson saddling Greeley and Ben. Manny Franco aboard. Justin, what a cool horse he is. 98 buyer at this late stage in his career. Just unbelievable. You know, I know we you know, tongue in cheek, we talk about, you know, horses that retire too soon. He's an 8-year old, and all this horse does is just grind it out. It doesn't, you know what's interesting about him? It doesn't matter who is training him. That part is just amazing. In fact, you know what? I didn't have the full PPs. You know, I don't use the formulator PPs, you know, which has every horse. You can set the formulator PPs. There's many performance lines as you want, but if you generally pull up the formulator PPs and you print them automatically, you're going to get, you know, all the horse's career. Greeley and Ben's would be a good one. And in fact, I should do it just to see what the, you know, where he stands financially in terms of career and all of that. I thought that was tremendous. And how about Tom Albertrani and Carmouche with Astronaut winning the Red Smith? There was some volatility. There were prices to be had, no doubt. So we'll work our way through everything. Some of the other action around the country, the Hollywood Turf Festival, excuse me, in full swing. Thanks to Steve Anderson. And I'm glad it's funny, whenever I do this, whenever, particularly the DRF correspondents, whenever they can't join us, and I'll ask them, you know, like we did with Marcus. Marcus delivered, you know, the Friday Breeders' Cup best bets. And I asked Steve Anderson, who was on his way down to Del Mar, you know, who's your best bet for the weekend, not just for Thanksgiving Friday, Black Friday, but for the weekend. And he, boom, Prince Obama. And he wasn't kidding. Prince Obama. Flavian Pratt, in fact, until Maldonado won the Native Diver yesterday for Baffert on Defunded, Flavian Pratt had dominated the two wins for D'Amato, Prince Obama on Friday, and then in the Seabiscuit, Hong Kong Harry. And he also won for Glatt on Bell Street Bridie in the red carpet. So, Flavien Prat, kind of back, nice in the swing at Oceanside. There's still plenty, there's still good racing to come yet. A couple of other notes. We got to get to the, we got to go through those Laurel Stakes that we handicapped with Cali. There were some surprises there. And so much more. It was just a good, fun, eclectic weekend. I really focused on Saturday. I focused on Churchill, and that was a lot of fun. I love that card. Both the early season, beginning of the meet version. Stars of Tomorrow 1, Stars of Tomorrow 2. Some of the other, I don't know if you saw, you know, if you were tied on for the whole card, but had a couple of pretty notable performances. I'm anxious to talk to Brad Cox about Victory Formation too, not just his stake winners on the weekend, but Victory Formation, the Taprit. That was a very nice effort, and that horse is ready for the next for what's next. It's a Taprit out of a Smart Strike mare. Very interesting. And Spendthrift and Frank Fletcher are campaigning Victory Formation. Got one of the bigger figs of the day. In fact, actually, might have gotten the biggest. Did he get the biggest fig? He did, actually. 85, yeah. Cherie DeVoe had a nice maiden winner, that Vava. That nice fourth race. Talked to Mark Cassie over the weekend. Cassie, nice, eclectic successes, determinedly. Broke the maiden to start that card. Got a solid. That looks like that's going to be a productive race. And, boy, I could have used Mobster. The other Cassie, the DJ Stable runner. But Gun Pilot from the outside, from the extreme outside. In fact, you saw my tweet Sunday morning, but Marty McGee, I went to DRF Sunday morning. I was, you know, doing my usual, you know, a lot of the Sunday post, you know, big Saturday administrative type things. And, you know, looking at races I didn't get to and, you know, some of the non-stake stuff and so forth. And so I went to the selection grid, and Marty had given, you know, we had talked to Marty about some of the major spots, but we didn't talk about that 12th race, and I'm sorry I didn't, because I pulled that up Sunday and saw that Marty put that Gun Pilot right on top, and then later, actually, I saw that Seth Merrow, on his one sheet, Seth picked Gun Pilot, $25 winner. I don't know. First time starter, I thought from out there, and I thought looked like a pedigree that wanted more ground. And this 7 furlongs, you know, we've talked enough about that over the years. That's a, you know, a distance that trainers, most notably Shug, has taught us that, you know, when you have a horse that you know is going to be a two turn horse, ultimately, you give him that 7/8 as a, you know, if they've got some talent, you think they're ready, you give them 7/8. That extra ground from 6 or 6.5. But I was disappointed. I was live to 3 horses or more. I think I was live to 4 horses just to get a little something, a little pick 4 out of it. So that was, you could see, I mean, Gun Pilot took control fairly early. Yeah, that was Santana for Asmussen. In fact, every time this happens, I always enjoy driving this point home. I guess Santana is still going to ride a little for Steve Asmussen, huh? Yeah, he won 2 at Zia for Asmussen the other day. Then here he is on Gun Pilot. Yeah, yeah. Their relationship isn't over, as it turns out. There's two things around the game that where too much attention is paid. One is race callers. The carrying on over race calling is quite something. The other is the jock trainer first call relationships. You just read them and I don't know. They make you things that make you go, Boy, there's a song you haven't heard, right? In a long time. Anyway, I'm getting ready to bring Famous Amos forward first. And obviously you knew that the Philly, Hoosier Philly was going to be, a short price and a, likely type winner. But the other two, obviously 63 caliber at what, 9-1? 63 calibers win. I mean, that was a legit, not a stunner to us, right? I mean, we've talked about that horse a few different times because in addition to, Amos being involved, it actually was 11-1 by the time the bell rang. This was a horse that we've talked about because Lee Pacoit campaigned the dam, class of 63. And so we brought her up, 63 caliber, a few different times with Amos and My Racehorse and Spendthrift on the ownership line, winning the Comley. So 24.40 there. Curly Jack had every reason, it seemed, to not hit the board. It sure felt like, he was, I don't know, I'll see what Tom says. It just looked like he was really kind of going nowhere at a certain point, fairly late in that race. But much like in the Breeders' Cup, where he had every reason to pack it in there and was able to get the last significant check, he gamed, and Morales does a terrific job. Curly Jack able to basically, fend off some late arrivers. There, in fact, Hayes Strike, Red Root 1, and Dennington were all coming. So that was a nice performance by Curly Jack. So three graded stake entrants for Amos, two wins and a second. Yeah, not so bad. I should mention as well, a couple different things. We still have to pay tribute to Angel Penna. I was only able to, on Friday, obviously, we had the agenda, the busy agenda for the weekend preview, Twin Spires weekend preview. Louis Carvajal is going to join us, and I think also we'll have another guest, and I've got to pass along the news from yesterday, a sad passing. Jed Cohn, Rancho Temescal, Red Baron's Barn, the patriarch, and it's a little early yet. I guess I could read 6:20 now, but I expect that we'll have a visit to pay tribute to Jed Cohn as well. I shouldn't limit it to California racing, obviously. Just a tremendous owner and a program, a family, the program that is very prominent. And has actually gotten more prominent in recent years. But, long dedicated interest, service, contributions to the game. So, Jed Cohn, as well today. We'll get started. Why not? Let me get you the one and only, the Amos that's famous. you just knew. I mean, you knew Hoosier Philly was going to win, but beyond that, the other two performances just terrific for Tom, and the one and only Tom Amos joins us. Good morning. Congratulations.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm great. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was very nice. Thank you. I got to be with all my family, including my brothers and their families. So it was what Thanksgiving is supposed to be.
Well, that brings up a question, obviously. That means there's got to be like an extended table extensions and a kids table. How many people at the Amos Thanksgiving?
Well, it was over 30.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I've got five brothers. I lost my big brother, the one older than me, to Parkinson's last year.
Yeah.
But I still have my other four brothers and, of course, all their families. And, it was a great get-together. And, in the past, my mom was the matriarch. She made us all come together. But my oldest brother has taken over that spot and makes sure we all get together on Thanksgiving and Christmas, which is great.
Well, that's unbelievable. Who does – is it in one of the houses?
Oh, yeah. It's at my oldest brother's house, and everybody cooks something.
Wow.
We have designated plates that we got to cook. And I like to cook, so it works out well.
What do you and Colleen bring?
So we make a couple of things that are really cool. We have a casserole. It's got a, it might not sound that good, but it's like an asparagus with cheese and different things in it. And we also do the stuffed melatons, which is funny because the day after Thanksgiving, we won that race in New York with 60 caliber. I was talking with Kendrick. I told him I had the stuffed melatons that I bought over yesterday. He's like, oh, my God, I wish I'd been there. So that and the oyster dressing are the two things that really, really highlight Thanksgiving dinner in Louisiana, in my opinion.
I love it. I love it. Well, Kendrick would bring the curried goat. So
I've actually had that before.
Down in the island, down in Jamaica.
I've had it in Jamaica, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when I went to Kingston. Kingston is the capital down there, and they have a racetrack.
Yep.
So when I was a kid, we were in Jamaica, and I traveled to the capital and went to the races there.
As many times as I've been to the island, and when I lived in Canada, and food business, I had the Canadian government had this cooperative thing with Jamaica, and so I would get down there a lot. And I never went. Cayamas?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it's Cayamas Racetrack, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember. I do remember that the big sponsor for their races when I was down there was Michelob. And they had a big derby-style race down there. We're going back. This is, the late to mid-70s. And Michelob sponsored it. So I remember that. But that's about it.
I love it. Well, listen, plenty of great horsemen in North America have come out of the island. So, well, let's you mentioned 63 caliber and winning the Calmly. Let's talk about her. And you and I have talked about this filly because, as it happens, I had a long relationship with Leek Pacoy and remember the dam class of 63. We talked about this one, as she's been developing. What a nice win this is.
Yeah, it was terrific. And when you talk about, when you use the word development, she is a perfect example of a horse that was allowed to develop. And I have to give credit to the My Racehorse people and Spinthrift Farm for allowing me and my team to take our time and guiding her in races that led to her first Grade Stakes win on Friday. If you look at her record, you'll see that by the standards of, say, New York Racing, and nothing against the track she raced at. She was running in more minor league events until she won the stake at Churchill Downs before this race. And there really is something to horses developing confidence and horses being able, allowed to, you know, kind of seek their level when they run against other horses. And I mean, she was, I'm going off memory, but I think like 5 of 7 lifetime. And, you know, when she did have a defeat, which was in her first graded stakes try, which was in Indiana, we were able to regroup, find the right spot, and get her back on track. And you know, trainers have to do a lot of things, but one of the things that trainers do is you know, involves the temperament of the owners and having them buy into the trainer's game plan of how he wants to try to develop a horse. And I give all the credit to those people at Spencer Farm as well as my racehorse for allowing me the opportunity to develop this horse.
You know, you mentioned the one performance, you know, since she started going around a ground, the Indiana Oaks is the only, you know, the only misfire. Broke the maiden going a mile at Indy, came back with the allowance win, tried the Indiana Oaks. Then you went, had another allowance victory, this time on an off-the-turf event. And finally, the Seneca at Churchill in the September meet, and now a graded stake win. And it just, you know, you can see the steady progression, and you can even, you know, you can even utilize the figs, you know, the buyers and the Thoroughgraph. She just is making steady progress. And part of that, Tom, and I know I brought this up with you the last time we talked about a success with her, she was a May foal. And so a horse like this is the later in the year, I mean, there's still tremendous upside for a horse that's still giving away 60, 90, 100 days of experience and age.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I mean, she is getting ready to turn 4. And she'll have to face the older horses when she does. But I think that transition is going to be one that she's not only going to be successful at, but I think there's some big races in her future as well.
Well, this is a gun runner filly, and as mentioned, out of Leprechaun's class of 63, the include a $250,000 Keeneland yearling that should be an exciting four-year-old going forward. How much, you know, you did, this was her first break, we should know. This was her first break line, actually, since the career started. She ran 6 times between mid-March and late September. So you got a lot into her over 6-7 months, and kind of feels like she'll be poised, you know, for I'm going to assume, you know, the older horse trail in New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, it speaks to the point I was making earlier about, you know, having the luxury of a group standing behind you and allowing you to take that kind of break between races, and them having confidence in the training program and knowing that the horse is going to be ready. I mean, we can't leave 63 Caliber without saying what a great ride Kendrick Carmouche put on her at Aqueduct on Friday, this past Friday. He broke sharp. He recognized who the pace setters were and how the race was going to develop. And when it didn't develop exactly like that, he put her in a very, very good spot, second on the outside of a pace setting horse, and was able to take over the race in a situation where the pace was not that fast. He recognized that, positioned the horse well, and got us the win.
There it is. The Comely added to the considerable trophy case in the Amos household. Let's turn to Saturday and the two opportunities, Tom, in the Stars of Tomorrow 2 card. We've talked a ton about Hoosier Philly. I'm always delighted that I can reference you bringing her up, you know, this summer, Saratoga, before she ever ran. And you were clearly excited. You told everybody that this might be the most talented horse that has come your way, and that is quite a compliment and almost a you know, an obligation on her, and she's fulfilling all of those expectations.
Yeah, that comic goes a lot of directions, but let's start it off with, you know, look, I've always tried to be transparent about my horses when I speak of them, as far as the general public is concerned or the betting public is concerned. And, you know, so as you say, long before she ever made her first start, I really felt strongly about her talent. And we indeed did talk about her. You know, as it got closer to her making her first start, which was towards the end of September, I distinctly remember walking out of Churchill Downs one night, and she was just getting ready to go in the entry box the next day for her race. And I was walking out with a good friend of mine who I work on television with, Paul LaDuca. And Paul and I were walking out together, and he asked me, he said, "You got anything in the barn you really like?" Yeah. And I said, "Paul, I've got a horse running next week. I've never, ever had a horse get ready like she has. Never." And he's like, "More so than Serengeti Empress?" And for those that don't know, Serengeti Empress was the Kentucky Oaks winner. And I said, "Yes, better than Serengeti Empress. I've never had one like this." And so she ran the following week. It was a race of only 5.5 furlongs, which is less than 6/8 of a mile, which is not for her. But she won anyhow. And you could, if you're really, really a trip handicapper and astute, you could watch the race and say, "Hey, that's a pretty good race." But on paper, there are a lot of races where horses win by a couple or two or three lengths, and you'd be like, "Well, she's a good maiden," you know, and you would have left it there. But what you would have missed was that's not her game. She wants to go long. She wants to get that distance. And so when she came back in the Rags to Riches at Churchill Downs in the beginning of November, you know, you got to see what she's really capable of. And it was a wow performance for sure. And to back that up, you know, I spoke with the owners, Bill Stone, Bill and Mary Stone, and Rod Radcliffe. And I told them, I said, after she broke her maiden in September, I said, "Look, I want to do something that's unprecedented. I want to take this one race for a runner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies," which was a $60,000 investment for them if they agreed, and they did. So we entered her, and she was first alternate. So she was number 15, and they were going to run 14 horses in the race. So the Rags to Riches, which ran the week before the Breeders' Cup, was our backup race. And we entered her in there, and we waited all the way until the day of the race. And we were constantly in touch with the Breeders' Cup to see if there were any defections. And to that point, there weren't. So the risk was, you know, don't run in the Rags to Riches and maybe not get in the Breeders' Cup, or just go ahead and run in the Rags to Riches. And that's what we decided to do. She ran really well that day. Look, Wonder Wheel, who won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, is a very, very good horse. I don't know if off of one race we could have beaten her, but that's not a discussion team we're talking about anymore. Her two most recent races were both on off tracks, and, you know, I was really tempted, Steve, this past weekend to tell Edgar Morales, who rode her, "Look, if she takes it to this group, like I think she will, let her run down the lane. Let her run down the lane, and let's see if we can't put on a performance that brings her into the discussion for champion two-year-old filly." It was a wet racetrack, an off racetrack, and you know, other than you know, sticking a feather in my hat if that had actually happened. So although a younger version of me training horses might have done that. I just told him, "Look, you know, only do what she has to do. You know, she's the best horse in the race. If your trip gets compromised in any way, shape, or form, don't panic, but only do what she has to do." And so nobody, including myself, has seen what she's capable of in the afternoons yet. And you know, that's to be seen. And we'll have to wait on that. She's going to get a little vacation by design. We'll come back in the spring and get started with her.
On that front, you know, three races this year, and she absolutely will get, you know, she'll get votes. Wonder Wheel is going to be, you know, she's going to be the champion two-year-old filly with the two, you know, the two grade ones, obviously. But now things turn toward next year. When you have a horse that is doing this kind of thing to this point, Tom, you know, how hesitant are you even to let her out of your sight? I mean, will she get a turnout, or will you keep her at the track and just some light training?
I was just telling my assistant this morning, she's traveling from Churchill Downs down to Ocala, where she'll go back to the place that broke her and got her ready as a two-year-old. That's Woodford Farm. I'm like, I want to ride on the van with her. Yeah. You know, I want to make sure that everything, you know, I want to wrap her in bubble wrap and make sure nothing happens. You know, you can overdo that, you know, and actually cause problems if you just are too, you know, on top of them and everything is happening. So I've got to take a deep breath. I've got to trust the people that worked with her before, and I certainly do. You know, I'll go visit her down there, but let everybody just do their job, and that's what we're going to do.
There you go. Do your job. Trust the process.
Absolutely.
As we say, we should mention, you know, took a 81 buyer, and I know people are carrying on over the figs. The boys' race went slower, but the figure is a pace adjusted figure on the buyer front. So those that are aghast at why the numbers came back the way they did, that's what that's about. Hoosier Philly by five, pretty much under wraps, and like you said, you expected her to take it to that group, and that she did. We'll be looking forward to the Oaks future bet when the time arises. In the meantime, Curly Jack, who is another horse, Tom, I mean, compared to or contrasted, let's say, with Hoosier Philly, I mean, he's exceeded expectations, and he's just plucky.
Yeah, he's not as mature mentally as Hoosier Philly is, which is not unusual this time of year for the two-year-old boys to, you know, still be kind of learning their way and understanding competition and knowing what to do. And as a matter of fact, when he ran in the Breeders' Cup juvenile, he was a well-beaten fifth. You know, that day at Keeneland, and this is how, you know, trainers can mess things up. You know, watching the races, Keeneland was not a track to come from well off the pace on all meet, and certainly wasn't Breeders' Cup weekend. And, you know, it was my decision to tell Edgar, hey, let's try to put him in the race a little bit more than usual. And Edgar followed instructions. And did just that. We were second or third down the backside, which, you know, normally he's a little bit further off the pace, and it cost our finish. But because he's not really as mature mentally as he needs to be, I made a decision after that race, rather than kick him out and give him time to his three-year-old campaign, to go ahead and give another start to him. I waited until he got back to Churchill after the Breeders' Cup race at Keeneland and worked him one time. He worked very forwardly, he always does, before making that final decision. But I thought another race of experience would do him good in the mental maturity process of, you know, being a solid racehorse in his three-year-old campaign. And you know what? It worked out really well. He broke from an inside post, the one hole, I think, and got stuck behind a pace setter and had traffic to the outside of him. And, you know, people always are very willing to criticize a ride based on how it turns out, but you got to look at what goes into a ride, you know. So, I mean, think about yourself in a lot of traffic on the interstate. You're in the inside lane of the interstate. You've got cars on the outside. You've got a car in front of you that's all of a sudden starting to slow down. You've got nowhere to go. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. And that was the case with Curly Jack. And yeah, it was disappointing afterwards because it would have been awesome to, you know, to possibly win both two-year-old races at Churchill, you know, at the end of the season. Their two biggest two-year-old races. That'd been great, you know, and it really would have spoke to what we're trying to accomplish as a group in the Amos stable, which is to concentrate on these yearling sales and come away with horses that clients can, you know, not only have, but, you know, participate in the big races and maybe even the biggest races. So, you know, we ran second. We had a trouble trip. And in the end, you know, the way to look, properly look at it is, yeah, we lost the battle, but maybe we win the war. And by that, I mean, I think that race really helped him mentally. He'll get a little break along with Hoosier Philly. He's traveling with her down to Woodford Farm in Ocala, and they'll come back in early January to the fairgrounds.
Well, it's a pretty nice situation for you to have between these two. Six starts at Churchill, five wins in a second.
I like that. I didn't know that, but I like that.
Right? Right, Curly?
Yeah, well, you're right. Yeah, yeah, but I never put that in perspective, but you're right.
I mean, there's pretty well-known fixtures on the calendar at that oval. So having horses that like it and are it's well established, awfully nice. By the way, speaking of which, before we ask about anything else going on, there was plenty of discussion Saturday night and into Sunday with people, you know, already. I mean, it's not even January 1st, and they're already, you know, asking, well, will Amos Point for the you know, to run her against the boys? Calm down with that. However, I thought that Chad Schexnader made an interesting point. You've won yourself Fairgrounds Oaks. I mean, if she takes the next step, and she's going to have to get faster, is that something that you've already in the back of your mind said, you know, if everything goes perfectly, there's also the matter of a mile and 3/16 versus a mile and an eighth. So I'm just curious if it's crossed other people's minds, has it crossed yours?
So I made the comment after the race, and it was part of a bigger statement, but one line in the comment was, I have entertained putting her on the Kentucky Derby trail. And that comment was used as a standalone comment, as if that's what I'm going to do. I would not do anything against what this filly is telling me. And I would not do anything without consulting the owners and making a game plan as to what we're going to do. So it's just a comment right now. But, you know, I've been asked this a bunch of times, so I guess I'll just say it. Somebody said to me, how do you judge that this is the best horse you've ever had and make those kinds of statements before she's ever ran? And, you know, my answer is I watch her every single morning walk through the shed row and go to the racetrack. And I look at her and I say, what makes you special? You know, what is it? So I can look for it over and over again at the sales. And if there was a secret formula to knowing that, well, then, you know, everybody be doing it. But there's not. It's that it factor that a horse has. And she has the it factor. But in practice, in the mornings, challenging her against accomplished horses and working her with those horses, the way she would handle her competition, and not always just young horses, but accomplished older horses, because I had to stop working her against young horses because she wasn't getting anything out of it. She was just dominating so much that I wasn't sure how fit she was getting, winning those works as easily as she was. I've just never had anything like that in my barn, ever. And I've been doing this since 1987. I've had a lot of good horses. I'm certainly not a Pletcher or a Chad Brown or Bob Baffert, where I've had champion after champion, but I've had some really good ones. And I've just never seen anything like what this horse does. So is it out of the question to think that she could beat the boys? It's not, you know, but is it in her best interest to do that? And does it do anything for her value off the racetrack, or, you know, do anything for her specifically? Look, I've been blessed to get this filly in my barn, and she is taking care of me, and I'm going to take care of her.
Well, well framed, and that's all you got to say. That's one of those amorphic topics. You know, it'll take shape. It'll take shape when it takes shape.
No, for sure. It'll do that. And, you know, by the standards of what we've had in the past and paid for this yearling sales, I mean, she was a half a million dollar yearling purchase by Into Mischief. And that's a lot of money. At the yearling sales, it would certainly be in the higher level of purchase prices. I mean, by comparison, Serengeti Empress that won the Oaks was a $70,000 purchase at the Keeneland yearling sale. So, I mean, she's only cheap in the sense that looking at her now, she's worth a lot more money than that. And,
at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
I don't know if it was...
The Bonds family's Country Life and Merryman Farms are the place for breeding and racing.
Thanks. You got me?
Yeah, I do. It was on my end here. The signal dropped from New York. And so we're back. Tom Amos was just talking with us about the starter coming up at Fairgrounds on Thursday, and December 1st, and Nomadic Pride. This is a flatter and late night stables out of a Cherokee run mare, and not only putting the hood on, but also getting first Lasix.
Yeah, and then let's talk about, you know, blinkers, you know, a la the hood. So with her, she has run a distance of ground, and it was a big field at Churchill Downs. And the comments after the race were that, you know, she was really intimidated being crowded with a big group of horses, which is unfortunately something we can't practice in the mornings on the racetrack. So you kind of learn by doing. And we're hoping that the blinkers will help her, you know, keep her vision straight ahead and not be worried about what's happening all around her. And that's one of the reasons you would put blinkers on a horse, and that's what we're out to do.
Excellent, Tom. Since we're together, and this is the first, I guess, the first Fairgrounds-based conversation. I did have Patricia West on last week, off of her stake win, which was really a fun story. But you're probably somebody that would be more authoritative talking about the situation involving the grass. You know, not that you've got countless turf horses, but what can you tell us? How are the horsemen dealing with the turf situation?
Well, I haven't spoke to a lot of the other horsemen, but I can assume that their situation is very similar to mine. You know, you come down to the fairgrounds, you turn your stall application, and they review it, and they offer you a number of stalls based on, you know, the horse you're going to bring. And everybody on those stall applications had turf horses on there. And, the decision to not use the turf is one based on the safety of the horses, as well as how narrow the turf course would be. And I understand it. And I understand that, not only do I understand, but I support the horse's health coming first. But it puts the trainers in a very, very difficult spot, because that decision wasn't made until everyone got here and we'd begun racing. And, it's very, very easy for an owner that has one or two horses with a trainer to get that news and say, well, I'm going to move that horse to a track that has turf, or a track that has poly, which oftentimes is similar to turf, like Turfway Park. But the trainer that has, 20 horses in his barn doesn't have the ability to all of a sudden get that many stalls at a competing racetrack that offers turf. So he loses those horses. And, for a smaller trainer, that's a big, big hit. It's a big hit to any of us. And, that part is really, really tough. Really, really tough. Not only for myself, but for the smaller guys that are trying to make a living. And, I not only feel for them, I just wonder if there's not another solution other than what's occurring. And that is, horses are leaving the fairgrounds to look for turf opportunities somewhere else, and the people that train them are not going with them.
Exactly. I mean, I suppose some will come back as things get going. But I mean, we can say late December. There's no guarantee. I mean, the ambient conditions will decide, how quickly the turf course can be utilized.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. When they're talking about late December, they're talking about two races in late December, two three-year-old stakes that they run on the grass right around Christmas time. And how much it's used after that, we'll have to wait and see.
Tom Amos, off of a fabulous weekend, the two graded stake wins, the Comley, the Goldenrod, placement in the Kentucky Jockey Club. December is on the horizon, and I suppose we should do one thing, because I know he'll be listening. Dr. Politi, come on. He hasn't had a win since September. He's got to be getting impatient.
No, he's one thing he's not is impatient. I can tell you that. Dr. Joel Politi is a great owner to work for, and the ups and downs of the business are all a part of it, and he's well aware of that. And he's doing well. He's got five horses down at the fairgrounds, and they'll be. Turning three, most of them, and we'll see how it goes from there. But he's got some good talent in the barn.
What grapes for Eloise, who got the debut in and was kind of in an interesting spot in that expensive maiden claiming spot.
So her pedigree is for distance and for two turns, and we didn't do either of those that day, but that's kind of a, what we call a setup race or a get ready race.
All right.
It's not that we weren't out to win it. We'd love to have won it, but it prepares us. And I think that's important.
So we'll see that she's down at fairgrounds.
Correct. Yes, she is.
All right. Well, cause a lot of people they're waiting for her to run back, Tom.
I understand.
Well, the bottom line, a tremendous weekend for the Amos Barn, and lots of exciting things ahead for both of the two big two-year-olds, Hoosier Filly and Curly Jack, and I'm sure there's more lurking. Anything we need to know about in between now and the end of the year?
I think when I come on your show, we usually get a horse. We usually talk about a horse. I have a horse that has had a few starts, and had some situations that work against him, a young horse by the sire Motown.
Yeah.
T-O-W-N.
Now we're talking.
And his name is Mo Moves. And he ran opening day or second day of the fairgrounds meet. And he didn't run well that day, showed speed and stopped. You know, without giving any trade secrets away, we really feel like that race was something very different than what we expected, not only in terms of style, but how the horse ran. And, you know, sometimes through training, you learn after a race. And he was really, really a tired horse after the race. And that's on me. You know, I pride myself on horses being fit and ready to go. When I run him, he came off a layoff. And, you know, sometimes you learn otherwise. But that's a horse that I think you should pay attention to in the future. Mo Moves.
Mo Moves. There we go, folks. Write it down. Put it in your file. Tom, always a pleasure. I'm trying to think. I guess we won't see you. We'll not see you until the other side of midnight there on when we get to New Orleans, probably in February.
I look forward to it. Always my honor to be on the show. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Steve.
No, thank you.
Happy holidays.
And to you, Colleen, and everybody, the kids, and Tom Amos, everybody. Tremendous, tremendous weekend for Tom. Just what can you say? Three opportunities, two wins, and a second. So, speaking of taking advantage of opportunities, Butch Reed is going to join us, and we're going to call Butch. And I'm certainly happy to hear that Tom thinks he's got a nice Motown. We got our Motown who just started training, Landauer. He's being started down at Country Life Farm. Happy to bring Butch Reed. Always a pleasure, Butch. Congratulations on a fabulous week.
Yeah, it's been a real good week. Yeah, not often you can win three stakes in a week for an outfit like mine, and we got it accomplished. Just a great testament to my crew, and everybody did a really good, real good job.
Well, it's one thing to win, you know, three stakes, you know, over a weekend at one racetrack. You did it at three different venues.
That's right. We have to travel a little bit, yeah, but pretty much everywhere in the Mid-Atlantic we were involved, and we're very fortunate that have some nice horses that were could compete at that level.
It all started last week, and it's funny because I was sort of tracking, unrelated to the three stake winners. Callie Francois was with us on Friday, and we came across Monday Morning Quarterback, and so it just so happened, you know, you were fresh in my mind anyway because of the wins at Youngstown, the Youngstown Oaks at Mahoning, and that Turkey Trot with Riding with Biden, and here came Eloquist in the Discovery. So you've gotten a ton of mention, and let's go back to Mahoning last week and talk about Disco Ebo, the Wigelia.
Yep. You know, early in her career, we thought she was going to be any kind of horse. We really did. And she ripped off three in a row by open lights there. And we took her down to Florida a little bit, and that turned out to be the wrong maneuver. And we got her back up here against the Lobos. She actually had a very traumatic experience about halfway through the summer where she got loose and fell on the concrete. And thank God everything was pretty superficial, and she got all cut up. But we cleaned her up and healed her up, and her last couple have really showed what kind of filly she is, and she's really come back to herself.
This is a nice way to end the year, and you know, mid-80 buyer.
Yep, absolutely. You know, that was the reason we went out there. We're trying to squeeze one more state three-year-old filly race in for her, and it worked out well.
Give us some of the details and backstory on this one.
Well, that's the family. I mean, everybody knows that family. That was the first one when Glenn Bennett, LC Racing is the proprietor, is Glenn Bennett. And the first horse that I bought for her, or he purchased into, was a filly named Fat Cat, who was by Wagelia out of Katarina Disco. And I think I've had eight of them since.
Wow.
They're all full brothers and sisters. And I've got four of them in the barn right now, as a matter of fact. And she's just been a fountain of nice race horses, because I think I've won stakes with five of them. And almost all of them are over 200,000 to 300,000 in earnings, including this filly who's working her way up there now, too. So It's been a great combination, and we've been fortunate enough. The one thing Glenn said to me a long time ago, why don't we just buy the Merritt? I was like, 88 years ago. I said, nah, you don't want to be in the breeding business. And we bought every foal since, of course. So, unfortunately, they've all panned out pretty well, so nobody has any hard feelings on it. So.
That's funny. This spot, had you run much out there?
I think it's the third year in a row, actually. Actually, I took Beeren out there last
year. Yeah.
Looked like a stone winner throwing it for home, but just got nailed the last couple of jumps, so he ran well out there. And I believe I had one out there previously. So, they've been real nice to us out there, and it's not too far of a drive. So, this is 3 years in a row we've been out there.
Really nice. And, from a fig standpoint, that was a bit of a breakthrough getting into the 80s, an 82 buyer.
Absolutely. Now we can start looking around, for the spots. But they get tougher and tougher as the weather gets colder up here. So, we're going to take our time with her. We're real happy with her. And she's still looks like a fresh horse. So we'll be picking out a spot somewhere for her.
Well, and one thing that's nice about this, too, Butch, is she's obviously a horse that likes the work. I mean, she made six starts as a two-year-old, and she's made six starts as a three-year-old.
Well, I mean, that's that mare, I swear. They're all hickory out of there. I mean, if you look at a horse like Smooth B, he's 7 years old now.
Yeah.
He's almost 800,000 in earnings, I think. And Disco Rose, we were lucky enough to get grade two place, and now we've got her babies coming around.
Nice.
And Four Harb won a nice three other than allowance race down in Maryland the other day, 5/8 on the turf. So that, they're all just hickory mares, and they seem like Darren, who's a boss of Bawajilia, they seem to get better as they get older, and they appreciate the work. As long as you got a nice firm racetrack for them, they do pretty well.
I love it. Disco Ebo is the filly, and has now won five times in 12 starts with three placements. And other than trying her in the deep water, back in the winter. And it's funny. I just had Tom Amos, and we talked about his Calmly winner. 63 caliber, she's a May foal, and so is Disco Ebo. And, whenever you get, a May foal, they're giving away, they're spotting some physical growth. And no matter how big they are, no matter how far along, they're still going to be 30, 60, 90 days younger than everybody they're running against.
No doubt about it. And this filly, it doesn't even look like the same horse. That's kind of looking around the paddock, sometimes you see them every day, but you look at it in the paddock, and she's just grown, and they're big through the chest, and her butt is big, and she's really maturing into a really nice filly. So we're excited to have the next couple of years with her to look forward to.
Very cool. Well, speaking of good years and consistent performers, let's talk about the Turkey Trot winner, Riding with Biden, the Constitution. Paco Lopez got the call, and you've really had a lot of fun.
Absolutely, yeah. Paco, we hooked up with Paco about several months ago, and our win percentage has been outrageous since. So we've been lucky, and Paco does a great job with these horses, and he really gets along with this with Biden well in the mile and a half race. I mean, he's got such a nice cruising speed where he kind of tucks his chin in, and Paco has a really nice feel for him, and it came through again for us the other day. So, Biden's been a different horse. He was he's not a good actor in his stall. He's a stall walker and a weaver and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, wow.
But, and since we castrated him this winter, and he's just, ever since then, every start this year has just gotten better and better. And he's, as he's matured, and he's really filled into a really solid horse. Another one we're looking forward to a big, he's not quite done this year. I think we might have one more spot for him this year, but, we're looking forward to giving him a nice break and have a nice fresh horse for next spring.
Well, and you mentioned that Greenwood Cup. We were there that day, and we got a great price on you in the Greenwood Cup. Led wire to wire. That's a mile and a half. I mean, he's won at all different distances. Two different things have occurred from age 3 to 4, it seems, with him. You mentioned the gelding, but also it feels like he's more involved in the races this year. Was that by design, or did he, how did that come about, Butch? I mean, was it something you worked on?
Yeah, well, it's just maturity on his part. He's as I said, he's a bit of a bad actor, and he was really tough as a young horse, you know, as a 2-year-old. He was just a handful and was cranky in his races, wasn't really enjoying himself. And since then, he's really, you know, Paco's done a great job. All the riders involved with him have done a great job just getting him to settle down. He settles into that groove where he just kind of puts his head down and got a nice big long gallop. It's the same way he trains in the morning. And he's just, you know, just mentally he's grown so much this year that he's really settled down, and it's really showing up in his results. So we couldn't be any happier with him.
Well, I mean, here's a horse he's made close to 400,000, and what a terrific scenario. You can have plenty more fun to be had with him.
Yep. He's worked himself into a nice groove here, and I think we took us a while to get him figured out, but I think we've got him figured pretty good now. So, and the results have shown.
Talk about the next, the third of the three wins, the Discovery, at one of the great historic races, not just in New York. And here's Paco coming into Aqueduct, and talk about this win.
Oh yeah, that was a real nice one. You know, it was a tough spot, but again, it was a, you know, shot where you can run against 3-year-olds only so many times. So, and he'd win 3 out of his last 4. So we figured he earned a shot. And you know, Paco had pretty much had his mind made up on what he wanted to do yesterday. It looked like put him on the lead and just going with it from there. And you know, that horse took with him from that half mile pole to the wire, and he just showed tremendous gameness to hang in there and hang a nose on him there at the end.
Unbelievable. And this was a 16-1 winner, 33.80. The longest shot on the board in the field is 7. So, you know, some people were very happy.
Yeah, I was the only one who forgot to bet on him, I think. So that's all right. We're concentrating on other things at the time. So it was good to get up there. And it's always nice winning a race in New York, too. So. Always enjoy that.
This is another gelding. He's a Nyquist out of a Tappet mare, Cash is King and LC, and you know, one of the consistent, certainly one of the consistent clients relationships that you've enjoyed.
Absolutely, you know, and I can't say enough about those guys, Glenn and Chuck, and they, you know, that's the thing. And, you know, some people be hesitate to geld those two kind of horses, but. You know, they like it. They listen to you. They want to be involved. They're involved every day. I speak with both of them practically every day, if not every day. And they're just a tremendous joy to train for. They're, you know, consummate horsemen. They like paying attention. They like learning. And then those guys, you know, I just can't say enough about those two. They've done a, you know, really helped me out, helped my family out, and made us a year to remember, that's for sure. And hopefully it's not over yet. We still got a lot of action left to go here in the next month. So,
Aliquist, this was win number 4 in 8 starts this year. And it, you know, it's interesting. He's a bit of a winner, or you know, an all or nothing to some degree. This was a return to stakes caliber competition. And it's interesting because, you know, you kind of took that break after, you know, putting him on the, you know, understandably taking shots with him to try to get him on the Derby trail and on the Classic trail, and you sort of rebooted. Anybody could have bought him for $40,000 at Saratoga this summer.
Yep. And that's, you know, another thing, having the right owners, you took the chance and got him in a spot where he could get a win and get his confidence built up a little bit. And it certainly has paid dividends, as the, you know, now he's won 4 out of his last 5. Yep. And got himself in his head to really good space right now. And yeah, we had high hopes for him last winter and spring. You know, we took him down there with, you know, ideas. We knew the distance wouldn't be a problem, but you know, he came just mentally wasn't quite ready yet. And the time off, and again, the gelding have really moved this horse to a new level.
Unbelievable. Aliquist, and what a nice, you know, what a nice end to the holiday week. Where did you spend Thanksgiving?
We actually was on the road. My daughter, who's a pediatrician down at CHOP, had to work. So we kind of got together on Thanksgiving Eve and had a quick meal. But we still got a nice meal coming, maybe over to Capitol Grill or one of those guys.
Oh, there you go.
We really didn't get a chance. We were on the road all weekend. We were in New York Friday with Morning Matcha and the Comley, and then we were back up there again yesterday. So It was a kind of a little bit on the road holiday weekend, but we'll make up for it at some point, I'm sure.
Well, and you mentioned morning match. I'm glad you included that. But you mentioned Capital Grill. I haven't mentioned this. I mean, going back to my days when I would visit D.C., Capital Grill is opening in Louisville. They were
really?
When I was there in September, I saw one being built there off of, I think off of Hurstbourne. And I kind of raised my eyebrows. I'm like, wow, that'll be a nice alternative for everybody, you know, out in that on that side of town. Capital Grill is great. You mentioned morning matcha. You got a third out of that Comley.
Yeah, she had a little bit of a rough trip. You know, she's always one comes from a little bit off of it. You got to get lucky with those sorts, you know, and work and trying to weave your way through the crowd. But she had to check once or twice, and they ended up having to swing her wide. So all things considered, I couldn't be any happier with her either. You know, a relatively modest $18,000 purchase. I think I put her over $700,000 after the second in the cotillion here. So she's been a real pleasure, and she's earned herself. She's been going steady since last Saratoga. So
yeah.
She's earned herself a nice break, too. She'll be on her way down to Barry Eisman's in Ocala to have a nice pick up some sun and munch on some grass for a while.
Outstanding. Can't let you go without talking about tomorrow at Parks. They've got the two-year-old card, 90% Maddie in the nursery in the big race, but you've also got Girl Trouble and Mendelian as well in the two, they're both in the Philly division of the Future Stars.
Right, yeah, we're real excited about that too. Matt, he's been a great guy, and you know, Glenn's breeding operation, his big sister was 90% Brin, and Matty's the next one's undefeated, but has a very tough race. There's a couple of real runners in there, and it should be a very exciting race. But we like our chances as good as anybody. I think the additional distance of 7/8 is not going to be any problem whatsoever for him. So we're excited to see that one. And the two fillies are, you know, another couple that were relatively inexpensive purchases. Both ended up in stake races. So we're excited about those two also. So, yep, hopefully we can keep the streak going tomorrow.
Very nice. Well, and to go back to 90% Maddie for a minute, you mentioned Elsie's breeding program. This colt is 3 for 3 and is probably the least known undefeated horse on the East Coast.
Yeah, unfortunately, he missed one of the big dates of $200,000 earlier with a bruised footing. On Derby Day, he got scratched at the gate, but I think the jockey and the vets and everybody did the right thing. Because while it was a minor thing, and we cleaned it right up, and he came back with a really nice performance in that last allowance race. We're excited. He's done everything well so far. He's a big, strong colt, and I don't think the distance will certain, as I said, I don't think it's going to be any problem. And we've got our eye on some bigger things in the future if all goes well tomorrow.
Butch Reed, everybody. And that is a fun race. The Pennsylvania Nursery tomorrow, $200,000. A couple of other good ones that some people have probably seen. Uriah St. Louis has got a recent maiden breaker who seems competitive. So does Michael Matz. Picture this. Coming off an allowance win. That one's 2 for 3. I know that Gordian knot for Lupe Preciado is 3 for 3 as well off the Presque Isle win we talked about last month, the McDermott. This is a very nice group, so that should be a lot of fun. Butchie, always great. Best to Ginny. Congratulations on a superb week.
Thanks, Steve. Really appreciate it, and great talking to you. And hopefully we'll talk again soon, but have a great holiday if you don't get a chance to.
I appreciate it. Butch Reed, everybody, and consistently does a fabulous job. And let's look at this. I mean, the way each of these horses have been maximized by Butch, and that's a real distinction of his as a top horseman. Let's take a break. We're 14 minutes in. Rich Migliori is going to join us next. We'll go to the farm, because I know he said he was working in the barn, but he was going to come into the house right at 10:15. Mig is next, coming off the Thanksgiving weekend with lots of great action. Back after this.
It's At the Races with Steve Big on Sirius XM Radio. The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit.